each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi everybody, and welcome. Happy Easter.
Easter.
Okay. Doesn't it feel like this is crazy weather in Chicago? No, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Summer.
It feels like summer outside. What is this? Yes. But at least the sun is shining, and it's, I'm not going to complain.
I'm not complaining. It's fine.
I spoke with some Mexicans who came in from Mexico for Christmas to be with their family, and they want snow. You know, they want snow, so they're a little disappointed at the at the weather. We're, I think, pleasantly happy, I suspect, you know.
Although I was thinking, Thanksgiving was snow, so... I mean, I think
We did. Okay.
On Thanksgiving Day, it was a little bit of snow.
So, Merry Christmas, Tony. I tried to. Let's start with the Angelus. Prayer. We've got to start with that, especially today being the second day of Christmas.
Yeah.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me as you have said. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody. So I got to ask Nick. Oh, he's busy. That's good. This is kind of loud. Okay. He's going to be here.
Nick always takes care of this.
These are different, aren't they?
I think your headphones
mine are.
Is different.
The headphones are
more like ours.
I don't even know what they call them. You know, the
headphones.
I've been on the marathon of masses. Beautiful masses. The Christmas masses, and here we are in the feast of. Nick. Okay, these are new. They certainly are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just kind of in a fog. You know, we've had.
That's the way it is.
It's but what a beautiful experience. I was thinking last night after the last mass. So I think we had eight masses.
Seven
or eight.
Right. I think it was just about,
Let's see, 7:00, midnight, 7:30, 8:45, 9, 10 o'clock, 11:30, 5:30. So seven masses. And the beautiful thing is we do all the masses. Mm-hmm. I mean, the four masses of Christmas, the mass of the genealogy, the mass of the angels. You were the reader there at that mass. Always... beautifully done, and then the mass of the shepherds, and then of course the mass of the Word. The Word was made flesh, and then by the time we get back into the evening, so we're going from multiple languages, so from English to, or from Spanish to English to English to Polish to Spanish, not to English to Spanish, and then back to Spanish.
I don't know how you do that.
By the grace of God.
Yeah.
By the grace of God. By the time we got to the 5:30 Mass in the evening, I went back to the really combined the Mass of the angels and the Mass of the shepherds. Mm-hmm. So we combined the two Gospels, and then of course gave a little bit of a recap. But as always, I wish Christine was here. We were just talking before, right. So I called her because this is a day off, so everybody's off.
She is tired. She said she's tired.
She was tired, but she was awakened. We'll tell a little story here, okay?
Right.
So I called her just about a half hour ago, maybe 45 mm-hmm. minutes ago, and just to see if she was coming on, because I had sent an email message or phone message or something, I don't know. And she said, well, I was just awakened because something is happening here. The house is like a bomb went off or something, and everybody's...
Oh, wait. Now, in the meantime, you left. Well, you're talking to her. She then called me to make sure I was coming. And then...
But did you get my message, though? I sent you a message.
I think you sent me a message.
Yeah, you didn't
see
it.
But I was driving, so I couldn't respond. But then Christina called, and then at this point, I was driving into the parking lot. So then we're talking back and forth, and then this is happening.
Okay. So what do I do? Which one of these, Nick? Okay, good. Thanks. God bless Nick.
Perfect.
St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
Our St. Nicholas. So
then we're trying to figure out what happened. And
So the thing is, she said there was this explosion.
Right.
She didn't say an explosion. She said, I felt like it. She said the whole house shook.
And I'm thinking, was it an earthquake? And I didn't see it. Well, I didn't feel it.
Well, I didn't certainly feel it over here.
Right.
She's just the block over. And so she was kind of concerned as to what was going on, because then she sees her parents outside and she's just getting up. It woke her up because I wanted her to come to the radio. And in the meantime, we're trying to get a hold of you, and she's trying to figure out what happened. I said, well, I'll call you back, find out what happened.
Right.
Everybody's coming out of the building.
Right.
And to make a long story short, some angry woman evidently...
Mad at her boyfriend,
rammed the car off the street, over the sidewalk, into Christina's their home.
Right.
These are the Chicago...
the stairs. I don't think it went
the store, to the stairs.
Right. It's to the stairs. So hit
to the stairs that go up into
the stairs.
The first flat, or she's on the first flat, the second flat. They have four flats.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four floors, I think.
Basement, back and up.
Yeah, whatever, so... So anyway, I said, well, listen, you're up. Come on, get over here. You know, just a block away, not even a block away.
But, I'm in my pajamas. Well, come on over in your
come
pajamas.
Come on over. That's okay. Yeah. Today, people go to Starbucks in their pajamas,
exactly.
Which I'll never quite understand.
But she is tired.
Pajamas. We're going out.
Yeah. Testing. Here we go.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right. I get it. All right. I hope it's not. People, bear with us today. It's only the second day of Christmas.
It's the devil playing tricks.
So it's okay now. I don't know what happened there, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. Just keep talking, he says.
You're good.
Our Saint Nicholas.
Watching over.
Anyway, so I don't know what's going to happen today. You know, what we're going to do. We got to talk about St. Stephen, the Feast of St. Stephen on the day after Christmas. But how was your Christmas?
Yes. Nice. I'll just leave it. For me, again, midnight mass to me, and I was explaining this to, I forget who I was talking to. I talked to a bunch of different people. When my nieces and nephews were growing up, we were always together.
Right.
I don't know family that way because we never did that as kids. So it's like being together, seeing them all grow up, and I didn't want to break open their presents, whatever the case may be. And we could never... Me, I always wanted to come to midnight mass, and we could never break off because it's like I couldn't have Angelica leave, and she didn't want to leave. And to be honest, I didn't want to leave. But the fact that now that they're grown up, we've make it every year. And for me, to be brutally honest, and I'm not really good during this season for reasons I don't know and I think about all the time. But for me, that midnight mass is Christmas for me.
It is.
Just to be there, to feel that hour and a half, and it could be longer. It's just I wish it was longer, but you know, you have to do what you have to do. But well, that to me is Christmas.
Yeah, I have to get up. I have to be ready for 7:30
mass.
You're
tired. You have to do
the
full day.
But you know, and I know people. You know, if you're still with us and you listen to us every year, it's probably the same thing. But that we keep.
And again, because think about it. It's this place is special, and because you're the one that leads. You're not doing one mass. You're doing all of them. We were talking about all the different masses, and
but what I was going to say is, you know, it's amazing because the 7 o'clock mass is the mass of the genealogy. I feel like we just spoke about this.
Yeah, talk again.
Maybe,
I love hearing it.
Maybe when Armin was here, I don't remember, but I love that gospel reading is so beautiful because it puts everything in historical perspective that Jesus was born in the lineage of David. And then, of course, then after that mass, you know, by the time we finish, it's almost 9 o'clock because it's you greet the people afterwards, which is always a beautiful thing. And then what I go into a period where I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I got to stay up because I got the midnight mass. And then I know I'm going to have to get up. You know, I'm only have a couple of hours of sleep and then I have to for the 7:30 mass, and then the day starts, you know. But this is the grace of the experience, I think, you know, because it happens every year. So I'm fighting with myself, number one, to stay awake. And isn't it funny, you know, you when you know you've got to stay awake, it's like your body all of a sudden wants to sleep, right?
Yeah.
And so, and yet there's something in the air. There's something, I always use the word mysticism. There's something mystical in the air on Christmas Eve everywhere, it seems to me.
Yeah.
And I believe that's all part of the grace of the feast, because it is the feast of the incarnation, God breaking into history. But so anyway, I'm thinking, how am I going to get through this, the 12 o'clock mass, you know, with energy and to sing, because I sing the preface and the prayers, and it just inevitably it happens every year, as you say. We go into the midnight mass, and it's as if it is indeed that God's grace just envelops us, everybody, and it's such a beautiful, mystical experience. And by the time it's over, it's very hard to go to bed then, because you're just on this, you know,
I want to say high.
That is Christmas. I mean, all the masses are beautiful, but by the time then you get to, as I get into the 7:30 mass, and that's kind of hard too, because then I do finally get to sleep, and then as soon as I get to sleep, I have to wake up. Right. I put the alarm on, and was it Christmas Day? Because I went to set up the mass, and I think it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, I forget, and that was only yesterday. That seems like a long time ago already. But
it's a lot.
Somebody,
probably
because their doors are open 24/7, you know, so everybody, anybody can be there. And I heard a confession early in the morning. I think maybe it was Sunday, or maybe it was Saturday. I don't remember, or Saturday, Wednesday, Christmas. I don't know. I don't remember now. But
see, I'm always saying Sunday too, because after Christmas midnight mass, I normally come back for the 10 o'clock. It's just there's no end.
You were back.
How tired.
Right.
That's my normal.
Right. And so it's like, we keep the full Sunday schedule. Yeah. So, but the. So by the time we get into the masses during the day, it's I think I mentioned at the 10 o'clock. You know, I mean, it would be nice to have the incense and have the everything. It's a beautiful mass. The mass is a mass, and the choir was absolutely beautiful. The choir just fantastic choir. But it's just the people who don't participate in that midnight mass, and I understand the reasons why, and that's why many churches now do the midnight mass at 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. We still keep to the tradition, midnight mass, St. John Cantius does as well. They had of course, their mass went on for 3 hours. Somebody told me it was just absolutely
beautiful. But you're
right.
I don't think any words describe it more than mystical. It is.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful mass and a beautiful time. Yeah. Right in the morning.
Yeah, and it's and that's the mass of the angels.
Right.
So that's the gospel for midnight is heaven's proclamation. When you just think about it, you know, heaven, the angels, and who did they go to? But they went to the shepherds, and as I've got our children, well, they understand very well now why the shepherds, because shepherds are, they don't have any cell phones, and they don't have any computers, and they're not watching television. You know, the shepherds are in the fields. Today, shepherds could have their cell phones and all that, but the point was that they're fully disposed because they're in a posture of listening, right? Listening, and so just you imagine this proclamation from heaven, the angel, and then the multitude of angels, you know, giving glory to God, and so the heaven's proclamation that the Messiah, that God has been born to us in the flesh, and then they, of course, set out for Bethlehem, to the stable, and there they find the infant. So at the early morning mass, 7:30 here, but it could be earlier, you know, at dawn, really they call it the mass of the, as the sun is rising, the mass of the
shepherds.
The shepherds. So they're the, apart from the Holy Family and the animals, and they're the first to behold the Messiah, God in the flesh, and then a beautiful mass of the Word from John's Gospel. This is a powerful, powerful gospel. Maybe we'll look at it, maybe not. We'll see. Because I'm just in this kind of, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Right. Good. And, it's a good way to be
in a bit of a fog. But it is. It's Christmas is. So somebody asked me the other day. And perhaps we were discussing this on the radio. Again, we're going from one thing to the next that I never know, you know, where or to whom I've said what I've said. But somebody asked me if they, which is my preference, Christmas or Easter.
Easter.
The Holy Week and Easter. And I guess, you know, last night after all the masses and I was in my room, and finally just able to, not that I didn't relax during the day, but it's just, you know, it was very hectic. But as I was in my room after it was all over, and I felt really energized, believe it or not, I feel tired today, but I was able to finally listen to some Christmas music and, you know, eat and have a glass of wine. And
right.
And I felt like I was the happiest person in the world. I can't imagine anybody being happier than I am. And I don't mean happy in a superficial way, but in a just maybe the better word is joy. Just as this deep, deep joy, and just the beauty, the mysticism of the day. And I don't know that the Paschal mystery, the Holy Week, the Triduum is different. It's profoundly, deeply. It's a deeply religious experience. There's a great it's actually beautiful. You can't compare the two. They're just so different.
I think in a weird way, the way you're describing it, I'm more happiest at Easter than I am at Christmas. I don't know. It just makes sense.
I mean, it's a struggle, you know. I think that the thing about the Christmas is the this. The music, the lights, the peace, the gathering, people gathering, people.
It all adds together.
They're just Merry Christmas, you know. To be, that even just think about the word Merry, Merry. I mean, how do you define that? We don't use it, but except for Christmas, and yet Merry means to be. to be joyful, to be happy, to be light. You know, kind of the implication is a certain joyful lightness, happiness, a restful pleasure. To be merry. How would you define that? You should look it up on your phone. Yeah, I'm curious now because when else do we use that word, merry? Just Merry Christmas, and yet it is a.
Let's see, merry.
M-E-R-R-Y. Mm-hmm.
Merry, come on.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, the Narrows. Well, no, come on. What are we talking about here? That's not. Narrow streets with dense and many. No. Of occasion, season characterized by festivity. And rejoicing.
Oh, rejoicing. There we go. Rejoice, yeah.
He wishes me a Merry Christmas. Slightly. I'm not going to say that one.
Joy.
But yeah, okay, that's it. Joy. Yeah.
And Christmas, of course, the Mass of Christ. You know, that's Christmas is, it comes from our faith. And why not the Mass? Because in the Mass, you know, and we got to think about this too, you know, because certainly the Paschal mystery is renewed and perpetuated on the altar of sacrifice. And so, because you can't separate the incarnation, God, the inbreaking of God into history. I mean, God breaking into history, literally breaking into history, taking on human flesh, taking his life from the life of the woman who was, she was already foretold in the book of Genesis that this woman would emerge in history and her offspring, her son, would crush the head of the serpent who gave caused the beginning of the, led to the fall, the introduction into history of evil, sin, disorder, disease, sadness, death, right? And that in order for this to, I'm not going to use the word spell, but this inbreaking of evil, darkness and death, all things bad, into paradise to disrupt order, to bring disorder from order. Sin really is. Sin creates disorder. But that when that, because of man's disobedience, man, woman, going away from God, because God is life, God is order, God is love. And so to go away from that, to go away from God, is to disrupt or distort or even pervert love, order, good. The birth, basically, of evil, darkness, and death, right? And so when that happened, the prophetic message already in the first book of the Bible at the beginning, that this woman would emerge in history and her offspring would crush the head of the serpent who gave rise to this evil, this darkness, this disorder, this death. But did we know that the offspring, the son of the woman, would be God in the flesh, that it would be God who created out of love, loved all this into reality, that he would be he would make the atonement. He would pay the price for that sin, that original sin, which is then perpetuated through history. And so the incarnation, God breaking into history for this purpose of restoring all things, to redeem, to save, to set free, that this would be perpetuated, renewed, and represented in the holy sacrifice of the Mass until he comes at the end of time. So the fact that you can't separate the incarnation from the Paschal mystery, it would be proper to say that really, truly, because we have no problem, we understand clearly that the Paschal mystery is perpetuated on the altar in Catholic worship, in the sanctuary, at the altar of sacrifice, which becomes then the table of the banquet from where we're fed with God, so that we not collapse as we go on our way. But in essence, Bethlehem is perpetuated, renewed, represented as a prelude to the sacrifice, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to that. And so that brings, we'll take a break, but it brings us to why the Church celebrates today the feast of St. Stephen, who was the first martyr. So we were dressed in the vestments, the color for Christmas, the seasonal color is white and gold and white. Those are the seasonal colors for the season of Christmas. The day after Christmas, on the second day of Christmas, because we're now just beginning the 12 days of Christmas, the second day of Christmas, today, we're in red, which is the color of the martyrs, or of the Holy Spirit as well, the fire. But the fact that we celebrate the first martyr, the feast of the first martyr, the day after Christmas. There's a reason for that, really. So, all right, we're going to take a break, Nick, finally, okay? We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month. As Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written,
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, it seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know how St. Nicholas became known as the defender of innocent human life? Well, when I was still Bishop of Myra, some townspeople begged me to stop the execution of three innocent men unjustly sentenced to death. With no time to lose, I rushed to the place where the first of the three men was about to be beheaded. Stepping forward, I grabbed the sword from the executioner's hands and threw it to the ground. Filled with fear, the corrupt judge fell to his knees and confessed he had taken a bribe in return for the death sentences. And the three innocent men were set free. Since then, I'm known as the defender of innocent human life. May this holy season make us truly grateful for the gift of every human life created in God's own image as we proclaim, Christ is born. Glorify him.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststanschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just one block north of Division on Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. By the way, before I forget, I have to tell you, you know, if you get a chance, did you see this? It's called The Veil
Removed. No, you said that. reminded me, and I forgot about it the last time.
This is a powerful, powerful.
Check it out.
It's only 7 minutes, everybody. If you can download it, either Google it or YouTube or whatever.
Just, what is it, The Veil?
It's The Veil Removed.
Removed.
The Veil, V-E-I-L, TheVeilRemoved.com. Or if you just put The Veil Removed.
Yeah, it'll come up.
It'll come up. But it's only 7 minutes, and it's an absolutely beautiful. Well, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful. But it brings us back to why on the second day of Christmas we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. But I remind everybody, as you well know, and I'll ask our students this, you know, where was Jesus born? Mm-hmm. In Bethlehem. What does Bethlehem mean? Bethlehem. What does it mean? House of bread.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say? What the name itself helps us to identify the destiny of this child born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, God, which is, by the way, that fourth mass, the mass of the Word from John's Gospel, really identifies who this is, born of woman, born of this woman, of the Blessed Virgin, that indeed this is God who always was, is. He was from the beginning, he always was. He had no beginning, had no end, has no end. So in any case, he's born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, which means house of bread. Bread comes from the wheat. The wheat has to be crushed before it can become bread. So it already identifies that he would be crushed in order to make himself bread for the journey, right? For our journey, that we not collapse as we go on our way from here to the homeland. We're in the exile. We're on the journey. We're pilgrims. And so that he's destined for this the ultimate and definitive sacrifice, mm-hmm. God who lays down his life in order to atone for our sins. And the fact that he's laid in a trough, in a manger, a trough, from the trough the animals feed, that he would make himself food for the journey. So, I mean, all that is. But why we celebrate the Feast of St. Stephen on the second day of Christmas, so we're going from white or gold into red, the color of the martyrs, the color of blood, is that not only is he destined to be crushed to offer his life as the ultimate definitive sacrifice to restore order to disorder, to bring good out of evil, to bring light into the darkness, life out of death, but that we as members of his body, baptized into the mystical body of Christ, are in essence what must characterize our love, because our love is lived in the love of God. It's as if it were God, as it is, you know, God living in us and through us. And that's, as I said many times, the goal of the Christian life is that Jesus reproduces life in us, and he feeds us for that purpose, right? That not only that we not collapse, but that we, because in order to receive Christ in Holy Communion, we come as sinners, and that's why we say if we're in grave sin, mortal sin, we have to go to confession. We have to be reconciled with God and the Church before we can receive Holy Communion. But in any case, we come and we acknowledge that we're sinners at the beginning of the Mass. We have the sins of everyday life. We acknowledge again before we receive, after we've given our consent, we've renewed our covenant, you know, before entering into the sacred mysteries, we offer our lives on the altar of sacrifice in union with Christ, through Christ to the Father, in order then to have communion, to perpetuate the Holy Communion, communion with God, to be fed with God. God feeds us with himself in order to bring us into our true identity as created in his image and likeness, so that we're basically in the whole of our life journey, we're in this process of, if we're open, if we're receptive, of being purged, of being transformed and sanctified, so that it's the goal is to say, as St. Paul said, it's not I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. And we know that we fall short, and that's why we're always, as Jesus says, you pray constantly without ceasing. You know, don't grow weary, but pray all the time. The Mass is celebrated not only on Sunday, which is an obligatory day and holy days, one of the precepts of the Church, but that one of the commandment of God, but it's there that we participate in this the incarnation in the Paschal mystery, the suffer, the inbreaking of God into history. So is it basically at Mass, God is inbreaking; he breaks into history in this very unique, very distinct way, perpetuates that inbreaking, and perpetuates the offering of himself in atonement for our sins. And we enter into that sacrifice because what does he ask of us? But he's asking that we surrender, offer, entrust our lives to Christ so that in and through Christ we have access to the Father. This is all this is what we can't speak about this enough. And every time we go to Mass, this is what's happening. But so, which means that as members of the mystical body of Christ, of the Church, we, as the Lord said, you're going to have trouble in this world. He ends the farewell discourse after he institutes the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday, the night before he dies, on the vigil of his own death, before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He gives his farewell discourse. We speak about this all the time. But he says you're not going to be accepted. You're going to be at enmity with the world. Elsewhere in the gospel, he says, "Don't." Because even when we think of Christmas, you know, what do we say? It's the season. What two words would best describe the season, in your opinion? Three words. I would say, you know, certainly peace.
Peace, joy.
Peace, joy.
Love.
Love, light. Okay, so light. So far. But it is a season, it's a season of light, you know, because it comes at the darkest time of the year.
It's true.
The light, it's so that from this day forward. By the way, you know, so Lent, because we're going to be moving pretty soon into the season of Lent. Lent, I was just reading this the other day. Didn't occur to me, but Lent comes from the word that means lengthening. Lent, okay. To lengthen. And what the implication is that the days are getting longer,
nice.
And it culminates in Easter, right, which is the season of light, or spring. Mm. Winter is winter gives way to spring.
Right.
So we would say that, although this is in anticipation of Lent, but we've just come out of a mild penitential season, the season of Advent. I don't know that we really enter into the penitential character of the season. I suspect perhaps all the stress that is expended in preparation for Christmas could be a sort of a penance. I've never thought of it. It's just coming into my mind now.
Whereas, but it is interesting that Christmas is the light, and then you're starting to go ahead and you move into Lent, which is lengthening the days and
right.
So from this almost.
So from this day on, the days are going to start getting a little bit longer, right? So in the darkest time of the year is when we celebrate the inbreaking of light into the darkness. Mm-hmm. Is the season of light, the Prince of Peace, God who is love, and of course that's the cause of our joy, right? So we get four words. I was thinking peace and light, but this is what add Mary, joy, rejoice, mm-hmm. and love. The point I guess I'm making as we come into the feast of Saint Stephen, the first martyr, is that as we're called into this mystical body by virtue of baptism, we're brought into this mystical body of Christ. We are destined, if we're living with authenticity or seek to live authentically, our Christian life. We enter into that sacrifice, and Jesus said, "You're gonna be at enmity with the world. You're gonna have trouble." He ends the discourse saying, "In this world, you will have trouble, but be at peace. I've conquered the world." So to celebrate the feast of St. Stephen on the second day of Christmas is a reminder that this peace, the joy, the love, the light is going, it remains at a very deep level. The more we nurture intimacy with God, we're able to bear with our sufferings, our own personal sufferings, but also sufferings that are inflicted on us just by the nature of life and by the fact that we have the enemies of God, enemies of the church, outside the church, but also within the church. And so we have to, we're challenged to keep faith to, because Jesus said, you know, he says, don't think I've come to establish peace, right? He says that, which is just there's two things that he says so we'll take two of those words, peace mm-hmm. and love, right?
Right.
So God is love, and Christmas is a season of love, but yet Jesus says, unless you hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your husband,
words.
Your wife, you're not worthy of me.
Right.
And that's the antithesis of who he is. God is love. But he's making this very valid point. I bring this up on the radio many times, and that is that unless you put me first, mm-hmm. unless you put me first, you're not going to know how to love. Because he wants to love in us and through us. That our love is not a selfish love. It's not a love that's turned in on itself, it's not a love that's centered in a creature, mm-hmm. but in the Creator. And so if we allow God possession of our lives, so when he says, unless you hate, he doesn't mean that. What he's saying is you've got to put me first so that your love is authentic. So it's authentic. It's my love in you and being manifested through you.
Right.
And that would be sacrificial love. So the other thing he said is, as an adult, as he's in the mission, making his way to the cross, is don't think that I've come to bring peace. I've come not to bring peace, but to bring division, to set a fire, and how I long for that fire to be set. But this is the season of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. But the point being made is that because he is truth, there are those who are going to oppose the truth, who are going to, and in this, it's going to be cause for division. Because if we're living in God, it's in God we have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. I've been reflecting on this too, just listening, knowing people's lives, you know, where they've come from. Even during the Mass, I was reflecting on the beauty of our people. And I've said it before, and I truly mean this, and this isn't in any way to diminish anybody, but I truly believe that people who live deeply their faith, who really can say that apart from him I have no life, that he is my life, God is my life, and people who say that, and mean it, and live it, because to know God is to know self. Mm-hmm. To come into his light is to know one's own darkness, which brings us even all the more desirous to entrust our lives to him, because without, the key is, you know, we persevere in humility. Humility is to acknowledge that, God, without you, I can't do it. And then, therefore, I surrender my life to you. People who do that are the most beautiful people in the world, you know. Even with their defects and their idiosyncrasies and their sins, that's all of us. I reflect on these. I say, these are beautiful people, mm-hmm. beautiful people. People who don't have God, they're good people. There are many good people. There are truly evil people, And certainly there's this kind of hypocrisy where people may use the faith or use the church for their own gain or for their own if not some nefarious purpose, you know, it becomes I don't want to use the word crutch because often people will say we use religion as a crutch. The faith is our life. Mm-hmm. It's what gives us the courage to get into the fight, into the battle, into the trenches, and to fight the good fight, and to be in the work of life, and to live in a sacrificial way to fulfill our responsibilities. But there are many, many, many good people. But people who really are imbued with the Spirit of God, and again, it's a simplicity. There's a simplicity. There's a humility. So I'm not even talking about those who might be on flying high, mm-hmm. you know, because initially people may be flying high, but then you know there's a point where in order to purge and to transform that faith, to deepen the faith, God will bring us into the desert, which is a time of testing. So that the roots go deeper, and it's a purifying, transformative thing that sanctifies, and then that beauty is there, and it just doesn't. Life without God doesn't. There's nothing.
Makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. There's nothing attractive about it. So again, I'm not talking about that. Yeah, the saints are the most beautiful people, mm-hmm. but. We're talking about people who are sincerely on the way. The bottom line is, and how many times have I said the bottom line, is that Christmas, the second day we go into the Feast of the Martyr, is a reminder that this faith is going to cost us our lives, that God, and we have to keep thinking about this more and more in a world that has become very permissive, mm-hmm. that God isn't permissive. God is rather demanding. But he takes us where we're at, and we freely come to him, and he may, you know, as the scripture says, he'll give us initially the milk, right? Mm-hmm. He'll treat us like babies who are totally dependent and need to be nurtured and need to be loved, but as he seeks to bring us to mature faith, he'll become the, we say he's the potter, we're the clay, he's molding the clay, but he becomes the sculptor, right, chipping away at the rock that hurts, because he sees what he wants to bring the best that's in us out of us, to bring us into our true identity. All right. Going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
At St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, we pray the Roman Canon in Latin on the first Sunday of each month. As Pastor Father Anthony Bush has written,
Latin in the Mass binds us ever more deeply to the saints of old and the Church's enduring character. In our time, when so much of what characterizes our identity of Catholics has been undone, it seems a spiritual and moral work of mercy to offer this simple gesture as a reminder that we are servants of a sacred story always under threat until Jesus comes at the end of all things.
The Roman Canon at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church on the first Sunday of each month. St. Stan's is handicapped accessible. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. For complete information, go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer.
before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School is enrolling now for the 2020-21 school year. St. Stan's School is a PK3 to 8th grade Catholic school in Westtown, committed to challenging students achieve academic and social excellence, led by action and example. Explore all that St. Stan's has to offer at ststandschicago.org or call 773-278-4560 or visit St. Stan's School at 1255 North Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, just one block north of Division on Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up on this second day of Christmas, a feast of St. Stephen the Martyr. I read right from the Acts of the Apostles, really, the account of his martyrdom, the first martyr. Of course, St. John the Baptist was beheaded. He was be considered the last of the prophets, right? Mm-hmm. Although we all participate in the prophetic work, where we have there's a prophetic nature to our identity as Christians, priestly, kingly, prophetic. But so Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. When they heard this, they were infuriated, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That's the reading of the day. Now, actually, there's more to it than that, because he'll ask God not to hold this sin again, hold not this sin against them. I believe that's in the reading as well, because it's cut out of there for some reason. This, I'm just reading from the text for the day,
right?
But again, it goes back to what so the gospel for today on this, the feast of Saint Stephen. Again, think about it, the day after Christmas. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will be held, you will be led before governors and kings for my sake as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, don't worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say, for it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand you over to brother, or brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but whoever endures to the end will be saved." Those are the words of Jesus in from Matthew's gospel. So there's many ways that he describes that. And I'll tell you, this is the real challenge for the church today, I think, is, and I get it, you know, the church, we want to, What we have to do is we have to be authentic Christians. We have to be deeply rooted in the faith of our ancestors, we say the ancients of old, the saints. We have to be rooted in sacred scripture. And to think, and this is the problem, I think, much of the problem today as to why there seems to be this lack of passion or this in a sense, you know, it's as if we bend over backwards to accommodate. What can we do to make ourselves acceptable? How can we accommodate the world? How can we? Yeah, I get it. We've got to be in dialogue with the world, but our dialogue is never at the expense of Christ Jesus and His truth. I've mentioned before, I had written something about this in a letter I'd written, and from on high, I get this. The letter is redacted, and it doesn't reflect the mind of the church. Because what did I write? But I wrote what Jesus wrote. That as much as we love the world, we're going to be at enmity with the world. The world isn't as Saint Stephen. In the truth of who he was, imbued with the very life of God, the members of the Sanhedrin, they were infuriated. They ground their teeth at him. They were so angry. And then when he would speak, they put their hands to they covered their ears. And they put him to death, It's just, so he fully participates in the suffering death of Jesus, and even imitating the Lord, asking God that he hold not this sin against them. In other words, forgive them. This is like Jesus from the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I guess by conclusion today, and somebody mentioned this to me yesterday because I was, thanking people for being at Mass and for keeping the faith, and actually Christina's father, we were talking last night, and he says, remind people what a privilege it is that we're here, what a privilege, what a blessing, what a grace, what a gift that we have the faith, because it is a gift, and yes, we wonder how can we communicate. Witness his faith for others without, in any way, we can't. Never at the expense of truth. Never do we diminish the person of Jesus Christ, who is God, who gave us a law, who is bred for the journey, and who is the supreme high priest who intercedes on our behalf. Never, never, never at the expense of Christ Jesus do we live so as to accommodate the world. We live in truth. And if we humbly, because we are sinners, live in that truth, then, God will give the grace, but people have to be receptive. They have to be open. And it means what? But a dying to self in order to live in Him. It means that we lose ourselves so that we find Him, and in finding Him, we find ourselves. So the bottom line is, the whole of Christmas, the whole season we've entered into, is to turn away from the creature and to put our eyes on the Creator. With that, everybody, I wish you a Merry Christmas. We will be back tomorrow, God willing. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
Time to hide.